it's a little bit different than you may have heard it somewhere else, just in that I hold. And hallelujah, what a Savior. It's also called Man of Sorrows. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah. What a Savior. We're actually going to be in Daniel 3 some this morning. All right, I had Isaiah lay the groundwork for this message this morning by reading verse 44 to the end of chapter 2 in the book of Daniel. We see here that King Nebuchadnezzar has been convinced that God is the God of kings. He is the Lord of all princes and all people. And he makes this declaration. And he says, God is a God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. And the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many gifts. And notice in verse 49, request, and Isaiah read this to us, Daniel requested the king that he would set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So this is their position in this kingdom. Daniel is in the gate of the king. He's higher than they are. They answer to him, I'd say. But they are in this lifted up position in this kingdom. So they were over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Well, that was the greatest place on earth, wasn't it? We read before that the Lord had given, wherever there were people and animals, had given this kingdom unto Nebuchadnezzar. He was the great king. He was the head of the figure in the dream that God revealed through Daniel, made of gold. He was on top. The greatest kingdom of all these kingdoms that we read about. The other kingdoms that came after his kingdom were of lesser power, lesser strength, probably lesser in size as far as who they dominated and who was under them. We're going to go into chapter 3 here, and you're going to see a different Nebuchadnezzar all of a sudden than what we just, the one who just made these expressions of how God is the Lord of kings. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits. This thing was huge. The breadth thereof was 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. So he set it up, the king did, in the province of Babylon. We just read something about the province of Babylon. Olia, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were over this province, weren't they? Yes, over all the affairs of the province of Babylon. This is where Nebuchadnezzar set up this great figure, this great image. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. All the rulers of the provinces. Well, that included our three boys, isn't it? Yes. It included Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Where did Nebuchadnezzar get such an idea? Well, from chapter 2. This great image that God showed him, we know that God showed it to him. We know that God hid it from him for a time. And he had his perfect purpose in all of these things. The way he designed these things, the way he allowed these things to line up, was so that Daniel, by God's power, would be able to reveal this dream that troubled the king so, and reveal to the king what was coming in the future, and to reveal to us what was coming in the future in the rise and fall of these world-dominating nations, kingdoms. All right, so God is in this completely. So Nebuchadnezzar remembered this figure from his dream. And he started to think about, I believe, that he was the head of this figure. He was the big guy. He was the big dog in this picture. Why? Because, well, the head represented him, and the head was made out of gold. That's the most expensive, the best, the highest in all of these metals. The gold was on top. And Nebuchadnezzar began to be proud of this fact. I believe that pride began to enter into his heart. And rather than worshiping the God that he just expressed was the God of gods and the Lord of kings, now I believe that in his heart he wanted to compete with this God. I believe that he thought that this image represented him. Not only did it represent the nations to rise and fall after his kingdom, but he began to see himself in it. And so he had this great figure. He designed it. He had him build it. He's the one that saw the dream. I believe he designed it to mimic what he saw in the dream. And he saw himself in this thing. We know that it's from pride because he is the one who's going to get all the praise and glory for this great figure that he's built. His own God, he made it, had it made. Now notice what he does in verse 3. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, judges, the treasurers, and counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up." I believe that this particular music was probably something you hear a lot of times, music that will put you in a particular mood, or give you a particular feeling. And I think that's what this music was all about. When you hear this music is going to drive you over to this image. What do you want them to do? Verse 6 says, "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So he has made this declaration that everyone, And these people came from everywhere for the dedication of this image. He sent them out. He sent out to all these people. Bring everybody. Get everybody here. Because I want to make sure that everybody is going to honor my kingship. I want to make sure everybody's going to bow down and worship this image that I set up. This is my new God, this gold figure I just made. I want to make sure you worship it. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I'm going to kill you. I'm going to burn you up in a fiery furnace, but the choice is yours. Very simple. Therefore, at that time, verse 7, when all the people heard the sound of these instruments, I won't read them all again, the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now, you might remember these are probably the same Chaldeans that these three gentlemen, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, took the place of as far as their position in the kingdom with the king. They were the ones that were embarrassed because they could not tell the king what the dream was and what the interpretation was, but Daniel, who was one of the four, could. So you might say, in our lingo, they had it in for him. They had it in for these three boys. How could the king of Babylon bring these Jewish boys and put them over all of us? I'm sure that was their feeling. Verse 9 says, they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree. They're going to remind him of what he said. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. It was easy to pick out that these three boys were different. You might think, well, where was Daniel? Well, Daniel may have been still in the palace. We don't know. It doesn't say. They were different. It was easy to pick that out. These may be in some of the same Chaldeans that told on Daniel for praying on certain times of day with his window open and they saw him. They had it in for him. They represent the world. These three men represent God's people. That's pretty plain and pretty simple. The declaration was in verse 11 that they're reminding the king of, and whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Remember what you said? Everybody's not doing what you said. They're not all obeying you. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province. Oh, now it comes out how they identify them. These are the guys that you put over us. Remember, we were born and raised here. You put them over us. They did have it in for them, didn't they? But they knew how to manipulate the king, didn't they? We saw that when they put Daniel in the lion's den for praying. Okay. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Verse 12, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They're not showing respect to you. They're disrespecting you, king. They have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, that made him mad. Remember all that pride that we talked about that he built up in his heart? I mean, after all, God chose him to show a dream to. He must be something special. And he began to build that pride up in his heart. Pride is a dangerous thing. Very dangerous. It'll always lead us to self and away from God. So in his rage, verse 13, in fury, he commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? And he gives them another chance. He says, now, if you be ready, we'll play the music again. You be ready, we're going to play the music. And if you fall down and worship the image which I've made, well, everything will be good. My pride will be patched back up. It'll be repaired. I won't be so mad at you. But if you worship not, I'm going to go through with my threat to anybody. I have to. These guys have brought you before me and said, hey, they're making fun of you. They won't even worship your image. I'll have to cast you the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Woo! He challenged God himself, didn't he? That pride, see? He thinks he's smarter than God. He thinks he's greater than God now. He is this great image that God showed him in his mind. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Makes you think of Goliath, don't it? Who defied the Lord of hosts. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we don't need time to think about our answer. You don't have to worry about us counseling each other about what we're going to say. We don't have to be careful. We know what we're going to say. If it be so, in other words, if you throw us in a fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Plain and simple. Boy, that made him mad again, didn't it? Yes. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. 7 times hotter than what they normally do. He was really mad, wasn't he? He was going to melt them down. He was going to get rid of this threat to his kingdom and the worship of his image. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army, the most mighty men, to tie them up, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, with their hosen and their hats, and their other garments. They were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, he was so mad, he wanted to burn up now. Let's put them in the history books. Let's get rid of these traitors. The furnace was exceeding hot, so hot, that the flame of the fire slew those mightiest men, the mightiest soldiers. The flames ate them up, burned them up. Slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. He was astonished. And he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered, oh, yes, and said, oh, unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Oh, that faithful God was there, wasn't he? He didn't leave them, did he? No. Why did they obey God? Because they trusted him to deliver them, see? Trust and obey, we sang it. They trusted him enough to obey his word, and he delivers them. I see, this is the king speaking, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, how would Nebuchadnezzar know what the Son of God looked like? I'd say he was bright in his countenance, wouldn't you? Yes, that was a sinless. And he says later that God sent his angel. Well, you know the angel of the Lord all through the Old Testament, who that is. Yeah, it's the Lord. It's the Lord himself. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. He's back, isn't he? His pride has been cut away, hasn't it? his heart's been cleaned from this disobedience, from this pride, from this self. Oh, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Notice this. What effect did the fire have on them? Well, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was one hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Let me tell you, this world wants to change us, doesn't it? And there is a time, and there will come a time, when we will have to decide if we're going to obey God or we're going to go along with the world. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were over the affairs of Babylon. There were a lot of things that they had to go along with. There's no doubt about that. Daniel was the same way. But when it came to giving glory to something that was man-made, that belonged to God, they drew the line right there, didn't they? Yes. When it came to worshiping and giving their heart to anything other than Jehovah, they drew the line right there and they stopped right there. This is very applicable to us today in our lives. It really is. Oh, are we going to trust God enough to obey His Word? What would He have us do every day? He would have us look into His Word every day, wouldn't He? And trust Him to give us the answers to the questions that we accumulate on a daily basis about our lives. We do, don't we? Why did this happen? Why would that happen? Why would God allow that? Jesus Christ is the answer, no matter what your question is. I promise you, come to Jesus Christ. Walk with God. How can you walk with God? There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why won't you come to Jesus every day? He is your faithful Savior.